Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Fan. It's Raiders week, man.
Yeah.
The Vegas Raiders.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
I feel like Vegas works for the Raiders. Oakland's obviously the best. When they're in L.A., it didn't really work. But Raiders, don't be surprised. I'll say this now. Don't be surprised by the amount of Raiders fans that will show up on Sunday.
Oh, they show up.
There are Raiders fans everywhere, even though they've largely been bad for, I don't know, 25 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, when was that, like, Rich Gannon era? That was right around 2000, 2001. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that Bucks? So, first, you had the Raiders got screwed by the Tuck rule. That must have been 01, because I think that's when the Pats won that first Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So, then it must have been 02 when the Bucks beat the Raiders in the Super Bowl, when it was Bill Callahan coaching the Raiders and John Gruden got, like, traded to Tampa.
Are we supposed to be there?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, buddy.
Bring up old news, JP.
Might be, yo. Raiders are 1-1 on the season, a negative 4-point differential. Haven't played well, haven't played terrible. Geno had 3 picks in the last game.
Geno played terrible in the last game.
Yeah, I'd say that's kind of uncharacteristic for him. He generally protects the football.
Yeah, totally.
But the interception count has been climbing. When he finally broke through and got the Seattle starting job back in 22, he was really accurate. 70% of his passes, 30 touchdowns against 11 picks. The next year, everything kind of dropped. He missed 2 games, I think. Still was good. Last year in Seattle, without Pete Carroll, the numbers weren't – the completion percentage and the yardage were there, but 21 touchdowns against 15 picks. Through 2 games, though, the numbers are way lower. 62% completion percentage, which is subpar in the NFL these days. 1 touchdown to 4 picks. Do you think they can keep the interception train rolling?
I sure in the hell hope so. I don't know for sure, but I'm hoping.
How do you do so?
Pressure. Make if you, when I watched the other night, he was trying to force things in there. Tight coverage. You know, and I think normally that happens with pressure. If you get pressure on Geno, he tries to steal, he knows where he gotta go, and he tries his best to get it there. And if you get that pressure on him, I think you have an opportunity to get the ball. Because, you know, you want to grab the life. And that's what he gives you, ball is life.
Through 2 games this season, the Raiders are 1-1. They opened the year at New England in Foxborough, stole a road win to start 20-13. In that game, their offense looked pretty good. The Patriots' offense did not. Last we saw it, Monday night at home opener against the Chargers. Really couldn't get much going offensively. Had a ton of turnovers. If you're looking through 2 games, the Raiders' offense is 31st in points, 22nd in yards. You know, the interceptions are going to be a big part of that. They're also not running the ball all that well. Mm-hmm. They spent the early draft pick, I want to say it was a top 5 pick, on Ashton Jeanty, the star running back. Jeanty, through 2 games, is averaging 2.7 yards per carry, 30 carries for 81 yards. does have a touchdown, hasn't chipped in much in the receiving game. He has 5 catches for 3 yards through 2 games.
Yeah, I watched him the other night, dude, and he's just oh so close. I just don't want to see him find his way against us.
Yeah.
Because the dude, he can do. He can pick him up and put him down, Jay.
Yeah, I agree. Jacoby Myers is the receiving threat, the wide receiver threat. Through 2 games, he's got 14 catches for 165 yards, hasn't found the end zone yet, but he's averaging about 80 yards per game. Brock Bowers is probably their best player. Bowers is beat up, though. White Brian, give me the Brock Bowers injury and injury status. He played the other night. Through 2 games, Bowers has 10 catches for 140 yards, also hasn't found the end zone. They have the other tight end that they drafted, I think, at the first round, like 3 years back, the guy Michael Mayer from Notre Dame. 6 catches for 47 yards for him. Not much else on the ground. They've really tried to commit to Genty. I mean, getting a rookie 30 carries through 2 games, like, it's not like he's not getting the work. I don't know that their offensive line is generating a ton of push. Defensively, Max Crosby is obviously a threat. He has one.
He is definitely that.
1 sack through 2 games, 2 TFLs, 2 quarterback hits. Jeremy Chinn, don't forget that name.
Yeah, Chinn was playing well the other day, man.
Chinn played well here. I think Chinn is good.
Yeah.
You know, the Raiders don't scare you, but Washington's got to show up. To me, this game is less about what Vegas is or isn't and more about what Washington is or isn't. Does that make sense?
I agree. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. See, that's the thing about it. Like, we were talking yesterday. I was talking with Jason over here with the command center. And he was talking about how Dan Quinn and Pete Carroll, I mean, Cliff and all that, all go way back to the UCLA and all that stuff, how they know each other. I'm like, he said, what's the best way to win that battle? I say, run your stuff. You got to be good at what you run. And then they know you too, so what you got to do is play chess with them. Make sure they understand, show them something that they know. And when they get ready for it, you're running something else. You got to play games with them in a sense. So these two guys understand each other. They understand how to attack each other. Let's see what happens. Hell, Pete and Dan were on the same squad. Won a Super Bowl together, right?
Yeah.
So they know it. They know what people like to do. You got to find a way to go out there and get it done.
The big man, Mitch Tischler, just walked in the room. If we had a microphone,
what's up, Tish Mishler?
We'd put him on there. With the Raiders, I couldn't agree more, B, that this is about Washington more than Vegas. Like, you got to show up defensively, get the same effort you got against the Giants. Now, is that harder to do with Wise gone? It might be. But offensively, you got to click. I just – Washington's got to play their game, and they haven't yet. And I don't know if that looks different without Jaden in there. We don't know definitively yet, but if you look at Washington so far, offensively they are moving the ball. Offensively, they're just – the third downs have been a significant problem. They're 14th in the NFL in yards gained, 23rd in points scored. And if you look at third downs, they rank 27th in the NFL. They're converting about 1 out of 3 third downs, 9 of 27. Red zone's not as good as it was, but to me, I look at the third downs, and that is why they're not able to sustain these drives. Penalties have been a factor. Last year, now granted, we're talking a whole year, and this is only 2 games, so it's a big difference in sample, but last year they were 6th in the NFL in converting third downs. They stayed on the field 99 out of 217 times on third down. And I just think, until you can get those numbers better, it's going to continue to be tough. It's tough sledding. Do you think that gets better this week?
The third down stuff, you said?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't just say yes, it's going to get better. I don't – anyway, I think, are they going to be working to get it done? Yes. Are they going to come up with different stuff? I think they got scheme a little better on third down. I watched third downs last week, and they seemed to know everything we were doing.
Last week did almost seem like...
like they were in our huddle.
Like they had the codes. You know what I mean? And that was not the case last year. They are 27th in the NFL on third downs right now. That is just...
not good.
I mean, 6th to 27th is a massive, massive difference. We'll see what they're able to do. It's not like the Raiders don't come in with this menacing threat. Honestly, I kind of like, with Mariota, I kind of like Washington as a 3.5-point favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I think Marcus will be able to move the offense. What do you think of Mariota not getting any work, really, until this point? I mean, Mariota really hasn't played all summer.
That's what I'm saying. I said that yesterday. I kept saying that we are looking at what he did last year, but I'm looking at this year, and I haven't seen him perform yet. So,
yeah, I mean, he hasn't. It's going to be tricky and certainly interesting to try to balance everything Washington has going. I mean, there's a lot of injury concerns. We are going to hear from Dan Quinn in about 15 minutes. Are there any specific players you think need to step up in this one?
A lot of people. I need the receiving core to step up. I'm not just saying a particular person. The receiving core. The running backs have to step up. Offensive linemen. O-line and D-line first. They got to step up. They lead the way. All right. Just like in that first game, we were talking about, oh, yeah, we're not got bigger. We got better. They need to come out and show that first game wasn't a fluke. And then the other guys, I think, will follow suit and begin to perform based off of that. Because if the big guys don't step up, nobody else can.
Two guys that we haven't seen a lot from defensively so far, Luvu and Von Miller. What do you make of that?
Well, the thing about Von, he plays so sparingly, you don't know when. So it's going to be hard for him to have that super, super impact. And Luvu, we are accustomed to his energy and certain things with that. Are they using him the same? Last year, he seemed to be on every play all over the place. I haven't really heard his name a lot this year, though, thus far.
No. And I think it'd be silly
but
to.
I'm going to say this. It goes back to the approach in training camp. They didn't do a lot of playing football together in preseason. And right now they're finding their way. So hopefully this week three now, they're ready to go.
Lamphill, any players specifically for you that you want to see really step up this week?
I'd like to see Connerly. It's been kind of a rough couple of weeks for him. I would like to see him go out there and hold his own.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Debo's been really good. I think to date, Debo maybe is their best player so far this season. I think you'd like to see Terry step up. It was week three last year in Cincinnati when things really clicked with Terry. He made that incredible catch down the sideline to seal that win.
They started going
late in that game. Terry's a really, really good football player. And I think this is the kind of game, especially if it's Mariota, you need your highest paid, your leaders to step up. I also thought week one against the Giants, Kinlaw and Payne were awesome.
They were.
Last week against the Packers, they weren't. You'd like to see those guys.
I would love to see some flat road play this the rest of the year. What I mean by flat road play is guys go out there and they play consistent. I don't like seeing the rolling hills play. Great this week, not the next week. Great. I'd rather see flat road play. Give me consistency and you could do a lot with that. That up and down crap doesn't work.
Yeah. It's without that, it's like kryptonite and Superman. I think I also want to see more Bill. Like, we talk about players that need to step up. I kind of think Cliff needs a better plan of attack this week because Green Bay was very ready for it last week. And maybe it helps that you have Parsons and you're able to generate pass rush so you can drop back and play those big cloud coverages.
Yeah, they were getting pressure with four.
But still, like, the answer can't be like, oh, they're getting pressure with four. There has to be a way to turn that around.
Yeah, the way to turn it around is that O-line has to live up to the hype. If they're rushing four and they're getting pressure on your quarterback, your O-line's not doing their damn job. Hands down. Because you rush four, you drop back seven. So make it very, very cloudy back there. That if they rush four, if they rush five, your O-line should be able to handle that. But when they're rushing four and five and they're getting that much pressure, that's problems. If they're not bringing six or seven, then they shouldn't be having no problem. If they live up to the hype.
The hype, I think, has changed. It was interesting. I mean, Greenberg dropped them to 12th in his power ratings, power rankings. We're going to run through the NFL.com power rankings we use every week here in a few minutes. Dan Quinn's going to talk here in a few minutes. What are the chances you think he definitively says Jaden's out this week?
Zero.
Lanville, you at zero?
I'm not going to say zero, but I think it's low. I think, like Beamish says, that, you know, we'll be waiting realistically up until the first possession to see who's playing quarterback.
No, I think we'll know. I think we'll know by inactives, because I think you think they keep Jaden up as the backup or make him the emergency backup and make him inactive.
They might. I mean, they might make him the emergency backup. That could work.
Part of me thinks that's when we'll know.
We ain't gonna know today. That's the question you ask. We ain't gonna know today. And the question I would ask is, why would we know today?
I think that's a great point. For all the, like, all this consternation going on about what Brady may or may not be learning in these meetings that he then is, what, I don't know that I'll be able to get in there. I'd like to ask DQ about the Brady stuff because he's kind of in the center of it. He called the Commanders opener against the Giants. Tom Brady was here. We saw him interview Jaden after the game. It was a pretty cool moment. Now they're playing the Raiders 2 weeks later. Like, whatever he gleaned or did not glean from those production meetings going into the Giants game, it's only 13 days later,
man,
they're playing.
I think the league made a move because everybody was complaining. Listen, I understand Tom Brady was a damn good quarterback. He did a lot of stuff for his team. Tom is not getting no more information than nobody else to be able to help them out. Especially when he gets the information. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, he is so concerned about trying to – if anybody ever did the color analyst work for – you are so hell-bent on being right about all that stuff. You think he's coming in there with certain questions to ask them – and then transferring that over to a coach?
Let's do this. Quick break. We got updates coming from DC Council. Mark Seagraves is probably going to be able to join us in about an hour with the latest information. You got trees are an issue, housing restrictions, parking restrictions. All of a sudden, there's all these issues.
Talk about trees.
Dan Quinn will address the media next.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel is getting you ready for kickoff with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets back if you win. That's right. Pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines. Whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is finally here, and the only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/Brian to download the FanDuel app today and get started. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
When the concubines take off your coats, ladies act like gems. Sit down, Indian styles, recite these hymns.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Me and B-Mitch holding it down. Ashburn, VA. Commanders back on the practice field today, getting ready for the Las Vegas Raiders. For all the rest day truthers, Washington's got a big advantage this week. Keep that in mind later in the season when we scream about not having advantages. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm good, brother. What's happening?
First day feels like fall. Like rainy, cold.
Yeah, it's coming. It's going to be gone after today, though.
Yeah, I guess it's weird because usually like rainstorms and everything come from the west and push east, and this one's coming from the ocean. Was this like a leftover tropical storm or something?
Don't have a clue.
Kind of gross out there, kind of muddy. We got my front yard aerated yesterday, because we sodded, and now we're just trying to keep it alive, and I have a feeling it'll all die because that's what happens in my yard.
Hey, but, if you're going to be the one paying attention to it, it's going to die.
I'm not the one. I pay people.
Oh, you paying people?
Yeah.
If it dies then you know what? You don't pay them. I mean, just tell them that if that grass dies, the check doesn't come.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So my yard, you know, because when you aerate, you get like the little
pellets.
The little pellets of earth. They're just everywhere, and the kids think they're really cool and fun, so there's just mud everywhere.
Oh, yeah. They're supposed to scrape that off, though.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We did have news this morning. You want the bad or the good first?
Whatever you got, give it.
Jonathan Jones to the IR. Cornerback they signed this offseason from the Patriots. Kind of had settled in as their fifth corner. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it's obviously Lattimore, Amos, Samardzija.
What was his injury?
Noah I. I'm trying to remember now. I want to say groin, maybe hammy.
I saw somebody else on another team had a groin injury. They got to have surgery.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know the severity of the Jones injury. When we talked to DQ on Monday, everybody was really pretty focused on Jaden. And then talking Eckler, talking Wise, guys we knew were out for the year. But Jonathan Jones going to IR now. Certainly impacts the depth. It's also kind of interesting that with the Jones roster move, they didn't bring up another corner or anything. They went out and signed former Packers he was drafted by the Redskins. Redskins second round pick Preston Smith way back in 2015. Preston is now, you know, 32. He'll turn 33 in November. Preston was good here for a long time.
He had a career in Green Bay, too, didn't he?
Yeah. Signed with the Packers in 2019. This is a guy with 70.5 career sacks. In Washington, he had 24.5 career sacks. I asked DQ the other day about, you lose Dietrich Wise. He's a unique body type to be that big and play the edge. He was listed at 6'5", 280. Part of me wants to take the over on both of those. He was a big fella. Preston has the length, 6'5", listed at 265. Not the same type of player as Wise, but Smith is a veteran that can come in and help you on the edge. Last year, he was playing for the Packers, got traded, I believe, to the Steelers about midway through the season. You're not coming in and expecting Preston to maybe give you double-digit sacks. He's only done that once in his career, his first year in Green Bay. If you remember, I think it was Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith on those Packers teams that were pretty good. When he was here, it was Preston and Kerrigan that were pretty good together. Preston's a good player. He's a good guy. He's a locker room guy. I see this.
Kind of quiet.
Yeah, I see this as a fit. It strikes me as a depth move, but he is a edge with some real size to him. Mm-hmm. And with Wise gone, I don't know that they necessarily have that. Like, Jacob Martin's a guy you like. He's listed at 240. Now, obviously, Kinlaw has serious size, but he's more of an interior player. They list Jean-Baptiste at 6'4", 260. They also elevated Jalen Holmes, who has that size, 6'5", 283. Mm-hmm. Dorrance is a slim. I'm not trying to act like anybody's small when you're 6'4", 250. Mm-hmm. But Wise just had a size on a different level that I think they're trying to recreate with this Preston signing. What do you make of it?
Well, I think what it is right now, you don't want to have to teach somebody how to play the edge as far as being a run stopper and also a pass rusher. Young guys today that come into this league at a certain size, either they can stop the run or they can rush the passer. That's it. They can't do both. They probably can't do either one of them exceptionally well unless you're a rarity, okay? So you're bringing a guy like a Preston Smith who's done it for a while, who's been around, who has the experience, he can fit right in and hit the ground running. That's where this team is, where they don't have time to be teaching guys at this point. It's time for guys to come in already with some knowledge of how to play this game at this level.
Agreed. Rooster just tweeted me, nice sideswipe. I don't even know what the hell that means. Do you?
I don't know.
Did I sideswipe someone?
Don't know.
Nah, that's news to me, dog. So we've reached the...
You and Rooster got this weird relationship, man. I don't know. Y'all weird.
He's never invited me to sit in a hot tub with him like
he
has you.
And guess what? He just said that because you all were trying to push that. You know that's not going
to
happen.
He invites you to the hot
but
tub.
But I promise you, if he invites you, you'll probably go.
B, I don't go anywhere. You think I'm driving a rooster's house, sitting in a hot tub?
Hey, you go places, you just leave early.
Listen, I don't think either of us are going to Rooster's house to sit in a hot tub, but not, you know, maybe Jeff will.
If Rooster's not there, I'll go.
That's weirder. You just can go to Rooster's house empty and sit in the hot tub?
Yeah, go out, hang out, throw a party.
Jones to IR, Jaden truly day-to-day, as DQ put it. Eckler mm-hmm. gone for the year.
Yep.
Wise gone for the year. Bates yesterday, we asked him, like, hey, you know, Dan Quinn said you're a long shot for this week. What's it like trying to get ready for what might be a two-week recovery? And John Bates was like, yeah, you know, it's different. You got to really just focus on the rehab and the recovery right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that sure seems like Bates ain't playing this week. Mm-hmm. Noah Brown is in a similar boat. We're going to see these guys. We will get an injury report this afternoon, probably around 4 o'clock. I think there's going to be a whole bunch of DNPs on it, and that's coming off a long break with the mini-bye from the Thursday game. It's a simple question, Brian, that I ask you. How banged up are the Commanders?
I mean, they're banged up right now, but the whole thing about it is this is – like, I know when they judge the 53 or 70, whatever you want to call it these days, everybody has their opinions on what's going to happen. This is when you find out, did they make the right decisions? Okay? Right now, did you keep the right guys? Did you keep the guys that could come in here if something happens? Hell, I mean, I know everyone looks at, oh, man, I can't believe the injuries. Injuries happen in football, okay? Sometimes serious, sometimes it may be to a real serious guy that you can't afford to lose in a sense, or maybe somebody you feel, okay, we can replace that guy quickly. But the games don't stop. So right now we find out, did Adam and Dan make the right decisions? And the guys that they kept, as I stated yesterday, there are guys now that don't have a name who can build one and make one. There are guys who had names that, you know, are not playing anymore. Are you going to show that, oh, I'm just going to be a backup? Are you going to show that, you know what, I'm waiting for my chance. I'm ready for my chance. This is when the great stories of football begin to happen. So we're going to find out.
Yeah, I mean – you wonder, from a straight offensive line standpoint, the D-line unequivocally took a big hit losing Wise, period, full stop. offensive line, there should be trending the right way. Maybe you get Cosme back in 3-4 weeks. That is really helpful. Those guys all seem healthy. How are you feeling about Connerly going into this week?
Well, my listen, bro. Connerly is going to have his struggles. Yes, the kid played well at points in preseason. I think he played well enough to be in the position he's in. He went against probably the best pass rusher, overall athlete on the edge in the NFL right now, last week.
Yeah.
And if you leave him out there by himself, what the hell you expect to happen over time? If you leave him out there by himself this week, over time, he'll get Crosby. Crosby will get him. But you got to help him out. You got to throw tricks at him. You have to help those young guys at this point. Look, I'm not worried about it because sometimes the way you get better is by getting your ass kicked. Okay? If you just go out there and start beating everybody down, you get very complacent. But after you get whipped a few times, you say, okay, either you, like I say, you're going to poop or get off the pot. Okay? It's time for him to say, you know what, I'm going to step up, put on my big boy panties, and we got to go with this big boy draws. Okay? And we got to go for it. I am not one who sits here and worry about a guy at a certain level. If it's in you, you're going to only be beat so many times. Have anybody ever been through a situation where your big brother or your big cousin always pick on you? And then one day you say, "Sess is over." And you have to step back to him. I have 4 brothers. So I had to hit that moment a few times where you're not going to keep picking on me, dog. And when you get into the NFL, that's exactly what it's like. All of a sudden, bully keep hitting you, and you know what? You punch him right in his damn face. And that bully don't know how to react because he's never been hit before. So Connerly is going to have to be that guy who say enough is enough and get better. He has the athleticism. He has the footwork. Get out there and handle your business.
It's going to be a big week for Connerly, knowing Crosby's coming. They'll probably – I mean, if I'm Vegas, they're going to line him up on Connerly way more than he's going to see Tunsil. You know who I sneaky think this could be a big week for is Colson Yankoff. Do you agree with me? I think, you know, we've seen these guys now. Both were rookies last year. One was a high draft pick. One was an undrafted guy. But we've seen Yankoff and Sennett plenty at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yankoff could block, man, and he's not scared to get really physical. Do you think Yank last week, and Bates went down pretty early in that game. Yankoff finished with only 5 offensive snaps. Do you feel like this could be a game where Yankoff really has to kind of get more done?
If Bates not playing, yes. I mean, over time we've seen Yankoff go out there, he can block, and he's shown he can be very effective in the passing game as well. When you don't have your best blocker, what do you do next? Go to your next best blocker, and you expect him to go out there and make it happen. He may not be what Bates is, but if he comes out there, he can give you a lot of what he is and consistently and don't make mistakes and give you great effort. That's all you need. Sometimes it's not pancaking the guy. It's just occupying him enough to get the guy through the hole. If he gets his arm in the hole, you know what? A running back should run through that. At this level, take an arm with you. So Colson Yankoff has shown he's capable of that. And now it comes down to what game plan are they going to put in this week to where these guys can go out there and play fast. The last thing you want is to put it so complicated that the guys can't play fast. You have them thinking too damn much.
So last week there were 139 offensive snaps. Connerly, Tunsil, Allegretti, Biadasz, and Jaden played all 100% of the snaps. Coleman was at 92. Terry and Debo at about 83%. Ertz at 77, right? So those guys are going to be out there. Next up is Eckler. Austin Eckler played about 50% of snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Bill was at 27. Keep going down. McNichols was at 20. Eckler's gone. How do you reallocate those snaps? I think Bill and McNichols, DQ said it the other day, it's fairly obvious at this point, but they're going to have Chris Rodriguez active as well. How do you look at the running back position in the post-Eckler world?
I look at the fact that Bill was the guy that went in next. He's going to be your number one guy to go out there and start getting things. But I really believe that McNichols will be effective and be a guy who's they're going to use in the third down because he's shown he can block and he's shown he's effective out the backfield. Rodriguez may be the guy who comes in and spell Bill when it comes down to running. So McNichols yesterday, I did a little thing out here with these with the flag football.
And How was that?
He was like, it was cool. He had two games. It was inaugural games kicking off from Prince William County. Forgot all four of the schools.
I saw some of it on Instagram. It looked cool.
It was cool, though. It was real cool, and he was out there. We talked a little bit. Like, but we were amazed by that. But you know what? Dude, he's been in the league 9 years. McNichols been in the league 9 years.
Yeah. He was on the Niners.
He understands how this league works. Last year, as soon as he went in the game against Tampa, what did he do? Make plays, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's effective. He can play. The problem is, the problem with fans a lot of times in media, you haven't seen him do it consistently all the time. He gets that chance now. On third, why would you think they'll put him in on third down? Because he knows how to pass protect.
Didn't have his best effort against Green Bay, but most people
didn't. Nobody didn't have their best effort.
Right.
See, but that's the thing.
Last year, McNichols was by far their best pass blocker.
But see, the thing of it, we talk, everybody get paid in the NFL. So when a guy doesn't have a great day, cool. But he come back the next time, he's more on the positive side than he is on the negative
yeah.
side. So out of the running backs right now, I would say he's your best pass protector.
I think you'll see. To me, you got to get Bill more carries. Four carries for that dude is not enough.
Four carries not enough at all. But then again, you got to realize that game situation.
It was a one-score game into the fourth quarter.
It doesn't make a difference about the one-score game. It's the effectiveness and what you're getting from the game. It's the progress, you know, the production that's happening. When he goes in the game, they knew he was running the ball. He's not a guy right now that goes into the game and they like, what is he going to do? Like an Eckler is. So when he went in the game, they knew he was running. And the effect of it wasn't great. Our D-line was losing in the trenches against our O-line was losing in the trenches against their D-line. So that's where it comes from. It's not just about the how many scores ahead you are. It's about what's happening when we're running these plays. Are we giving them a tip-off by having certain people in the game?
Is that dramatically different with Rodriguez now, though?
No, it's not. That's why I'm saying McNichols may get more play because of the fact he can do both of them equally. So if he can do both equally, he may get the most run.
It's going to be interesting to see, man. The Bates situation, the Brown situation even. If you look at Debo and Terry are going to be out there. Noah Brown played 43% of the snaps against Green Bay, and mm-hmm. I feel like he got hurt. He came out third quarter?
Something like that.
So, I mean, Lane and Luke are going to have big opportunities there. Maybe yeah. Chris Moore as well.
Chris Moore may get more because, I mean, what he did – Chris Moore get more – what he did in preseason wasn't very, very effective, but
Big catch against the Giants.
He did, and I think now, and he has the experience also. But for all the people that are saying, what you got to give Luke got the opportunity right now to go out there and take some of that.
Yeah.
He will get a chance. Will he do something with it? The league is not about what people think you can do. It's about what the hell you prove you can do. He has opportunity now. We'll see.
One thing that isn't about what you think, instead it's what you know, is that working with Paul Henry and getting new windows and doors from Paul Henry's window insulation will change your home. It did for me. It did for B. Working with Paul is really one of the best dudes I've ever worked with. He came to my house, actually told me to buy a less expensive product because he said I don't need the fully expensive one in different parts of my house. And then when it was actual construction day, they showed up early, got the job done ahead of pace. That does not happen, man. Working with Paul Henry is a giant difference maker. It has been for me, B, and I know it has been for you too.
It has been. I think I told you over and over again, Paul has done windows, done doors in my house. And
pergolas.
He's doing everything for me, but thing I love about it, you just said it feels like a fall day, but you know what? I didn't have to worry about anything last night because the windows I have in my house, I don't have to worry about that the cold air starting to come through. You know what? It got a little chilly last night. Boom, I hit the heat from Rude, and guess what? It stayed there. Stayed exactly where I wanted it to be because the windows were outstanding. Paul comes in. He does a great job. He gets the job done quick and fast, and they clean up, boom, and then they leave. You don't have to worry about them having to come back all the time because they do the job right the first time. Many people come in, they want to rush through it, they don't get it done. Paul does a great job. So reach out to Paul right now to get 10% off each window with a 5-window minimum and 10% off each door. Contact Paul Henry's Window Installation today. Tell him B. Mitch and Finley sent you. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I believe they call it the Wilson Building, right? That's like the D.C. City Hall down there kind of by the White House. Right there next to like the old post office. The Wilson Building probably popping today. Mm-hmm. I wonder if like Mark Klaus is there, Commanders team president. Mm-hmm. Regardless, I'm sure there are some Commanders officials paying attention over there.
Oh, very much so.
As what should be the final vote.
We hope.
Certainly we hope. Reached out to Mark Seagraves, who's been all over the story all along, and he's going to try to see when he can maybe join us. I just saw this from Tom Shad. This is from the Washington Post, right? And the Post delivers all the news by the book. Tom Shad tweeted out, while all eyes will be on Jaden Daniels' knee, it's also a big day in stadium news. The D.C. Council, listen to this language, Brian, is expected to approve the RFK deal this afternoon. And there's a reporter from the Post on the scene, Jenny Gathright.
Okay.
Now, the D.C. government is dealing with a lot right now. Like, everything going on with the federal government exerting control or pressure or whatever you want to call
still
it.
Still got to do everything work, though.
Right. Like, you still have to keep it moving here.
Yeah.
But the other part of all this is you still have to, once D.C. passes their budget, and right now the budget has the money for RFK Stadium, still has to go through Congress. And 99 times out of 100, Congress just passes it, doesn't even blink. Could this be the one out of 100? Brian, frankly, I don't really know what to expect from our federal government these days. I do know that you and I said this repeatedly. When the Senate approved the land transfer to Washington, and the first bullet point said build a stadium.
Yep. You might want to build a stadium.
Well, I had a feeling if they really tried to not build a stadium, that wouldn't have gotten approved.
Yeah.
But whatever. I think there will be what does a big bad wolf do? Huff and puff and blow your house down?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be plenty of huffing and puffing.
Yeah.
But I think at the end, this is the finish line.
Yeah.
Eric Flack from WSA reported this morning that members of the D.C. Council are now making last-second demands for 11th-hour amendments to previously agreed-upon framework. Chairman Mendelson wants a $10 million a year penalty if the team does not meet the housing timeline. So, you know, we all think of building a stadium. They're building a whole bunch of stuff down there.
Let me ask you one question. Is the team supposed to build the housing, or other people coming in supposed to build the housing? Because if I'm supposed to be building a stadium that's going to be the centerpiece of all this, I'm not allowing you to put a $10 million hold on me when somebody else could be holding it up. You get what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's some obnoxious BS is what it is, man.
Tailgate Ted, we got boots on the ground, B. Tailgate Ted just tweeted me, I'm down here at the Wilson Building right now. There's a buzz, but it's not busy yet. One thing I know the D.C. Council does, which I think is just patently absurd, they'll schedule something, B. Like, you think I'm late? These people are late, late. Well, they'll schedule something for 11 a.m. and start at 1 p.m.
Yeah, they do it purposely. You know, that's like, you know, they want to seem more important. So, if I, you know, they say fashionably late, yeah. They should be able to start it without you and fine you for being late.
I mean, you think they're going to pass a bill to fine themselves?
Hey, man.
It's like term limits. All these politicians love talking about term limits, and then when they become politicians, they're like, yeah, we're not voting for that. That means we're out of a job.
Yeah. Some of them should be out of a job, but they're horrible at their damn jobs.
I am going to choose optimism, Brian. I think this gets done. I think there'll be a lot of huffing and puffing, and this gets done. It's what I've thought all along. You got heavy hitters on the team side getting this thing done.
Yeah.
You know what else you got? A lot of money on the table to get this thing done.
Yeah.
What generally talks in our universe?
Money.
Money.
And what walks?
Huffing and puffing.
Yep.
I think this gets done. I think there's going to be a lot. Like, if you're looking to get your tweets off, there will be tweets this afternoon because some of these council members will say some stuff. But in the end, getting this thing done is what matters. I think it gets done. I honestly think you're having football games in there in 2030, and you're hosting maybe even the final of the Women's World Cup in 2031. I think it'd be sick.
And all the people that was huffing and puffing today, don't go running out there talking about what you always wanted. Somebody might stiff arm you, run through you.
So I'm reading now from WTOP, and Chairman Mendelson said on Tuesday, yesterday, I'm expecting that there will again be a clear majority in support at second reading. Like, dog,
if you're expecting that, then why are you trying to make it more of a mess then with this demand now? Some people just can't help it. They can't help themselves, man. Some people just like ignorance.
Yeah, dude. There's people fighting about trees now.
What, they want trees to be replanted? That's what you're saying?
I don't know, B. Speaking near the RFK Stadium site in the median area of East Capitol Street.
You know what you do when you build a new building? You do new landscaping. Add some trees. Add buildings. I mean, add trees and vegetation all around it. Hook it up.
Nina Albert, D.C. Deputy Mayor for Planning and Economic Development, said many of those trees will remain. We're standing in the festival grounds, and we're surrounded by, I think, 20 heritage trees. This represents the vast majority of the heritage trees, and I believe we'll all work very hard to preserve them. That said, there are some trees that will need to be relocated or taken down to make way for this project.
Yes.
Shout out to the heritage trees. I love trees. I love nature. $3 billion is on the table. And you know what you're going to have over in that little corner of the city all of a sudden?
Money.
Grocery stores, jobs, access.
Now, those things have to happen. I think those things there, you need to. If you say you're trying to revitalize it, you need to make sure you bring those things in that area. So I can understand if they were fighting for that. But don't start trying to tell me so much about no trees right now. You can move the trees up. You can move them. I mean, it's certain things just get on my damn nerves. I'm serious. Yeah, you're talking about trying to a city that needs to have more income, and I think all this stuff could bring. You're talking about more jobs. I think building this stadium there would bring more jobs, right? And now you're gonna start making everything about a tree.
Yeah.
So I would go a little farther, but I don't want to get in trouble with
Well, did you see Landfill's text?
No.
Landfill made his feelings quite clear. Landfill, how do you feel? What would you say if the trees hold up the stadium project?
We got to call that Auburn fan or whatever. No, that Alabama fan who went down there and poisoned them trees. They're trees. Just replant other trees in a different location somewhat nearby.
They can move those trees to
another area. This shouldn't be hard.
But they shouldn't try to make – the thing of it is this, bro. This is a difficult situation in its own, okay? Anytime you're building something that's of this magnitude, it's going to be difficult. And we know how when you get zoning and all that different stuff, getting permits and stuff. Don't make it more difficult than what it is. And that seems to be something trying to make it more difficult.
Landfill, the critics would say that you hate trees. Is that accurate?
Find a piece of land. You want to plant an apple tree, oak tree, pine tree, sequoia tree. I don't care.
Peach tree,
teak tree, doesn't matter. Plant some trees, get it done. Just build the stadium. Put all the trees around the stadium. You can go out to Fairfax County. They got all kinds of trees. Just grab a tree from there. And you can relocate it. You can have a tree from Maryland, from D.C. and Virginia. Then you go, boom, we got all the trees. And
call it the DMV zone.
The DMV zone.
Christmas trees, because we always take the kids, They have a tree. They have a Christmas tree from every state and territory in our union.
There you go.
Maybe they do that. Plant a tree from everywhere. Arkansas, Alaska, Arizona.
Get one from every county in the
Nation's Stadium
in the area.
I'm in. Do you think is the official tree of Arizona a cactus?
I don't think a cactus is a tree, bro. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do states have official trees?
I think Virginia's is the dogwood tree.
Really? Maryland official tree. The official tree of Maryland might just be weed. It is the white oak.
White oak. Is Louisiana something like the magnolia?
I will tell you in a minute. This the bald cypress.
Is it Louisiana?
According to...
The bald cypress?
That should be your favorite tree, B.
The Virginia's bald cypress. Favorite tree is the flowering dogwood, and West Virginia's is the sugar maple.
Love a good sugar maple. All right, that was Tree Talk. Neil Greenberg joins us next. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. A little bit of news out here in Ashburn. Debo Samuel, Commanders wide receiver, not at practice today. Excused for personal reasons. Try to get some more information on that. Joining us now, JT the Brick. Does a show on the Raiders Radio Network. You can hear him on Mad Dog Radio, the JT and Looney podcast. Does it all. You can follow him on social at JT the Brick. JT, how you doing? Thanks for joining us today, man.
Thanks, guys. Big game coming up. Just left Raiders headquarters as the Raiders will travel to the nation's capital on a short week, coming off a disastrous loss on Monday Night Football, where we had all the momentum in the world coming off week one. And now our offense is back to square one.
So in that game, you know, Geno really struggled, I thought. The run game couldn't get going. What version of the Raiders do you think is going to show up this weekend? The one that looked good against the Pats or the one that struggled at home against the Chargers?
Well, obviously, as a Raider employee, I'm going to tell you not the bad one. I'm going to tell you the good one. And look, Geno's been a very good player in this league, which no one seems to remember, and I didn't know this. This is year 28 for me with the Raiders. I've covered Geno's career nationally, but when he came here, because of Pete Carroll, you started looking at the last 3 years. The last three seasons, which would be 2002, 3, and 4, he was top 6 or 7 in comeback wins, completion percentage. I mean, his numbers were fantastic, plus winning. He won a lot of games. So we know that Geno can play well. I mean, look, the problem is Geno has one of those games every once in a while. If he has two of them back-to-back on a brand-new team with a massive fan base globally, as much as we love Geno out here and he just started, people are going to be like, whoa, we didn't see this coming. So this is a critical game. It's called a bounce-back game. It happens in baseball, all sports. You have a pitcher who goes out there and he gets bombed in the first inning. You take him out of the game. His next start, he has a great game. We need that in Raider Nation. We need Geno to go out east and have a big game and protect the football. Two of the interceptions he threw on Monday night were at the goal line and in the end zone. So he forced the football. He made a couple of critical mistakes that he typically can't do, and I think he'll recover from it.
How healthy is Brock Bowers? It felt like he didn't look quite the same. He was able to get on the field for week two, but felt like he didn't look quite the same. How healthy is he going to be for this matchup in Washington?
Well, I'll throw it right back at you. How healthy is Jaden Daniels? I don't know. I mean, Brock, I'm not a trainer. Brock was not 100%. If Brock was 80, 70, 85 going into the Commander game, I don't know. He wasn't 100%, and it's a short week. So, you know, Brock Bowers, when completely healthy, is a freak. He is a dominant performer. He broke a record since the 60s in his rookie year for tight end receptions. And, you know, they got him going a little bit in the second half. The problem was that first half against the Chargers, he only had one target, because the Raiders were throwing interceptions. The Raiders weren't sustaining drives. So, you know, the Raiders are really bringing a good offense to the nation's capital. You got Geno Smith, Ashton Jeanty, who we'll get to, which he's had a touchdown already, but he hasn't got off to a good start. because the Raider O-line hasn't been opening holes. You got Jacoby Myers, Michael Mayer, Brock Bowers, Trey Tucker, Dante Thornton, who we drafted in the fourth round, who's 6'5 and runs a 4'3. Jack Besh, who they drafted in the second round. He hasn't done much. And again, I'll go back to Genty. The Raiders are bringing a really good offense to the Commanders game. The question is, can the offensive line block, pass protect? They didn't do a very good job against the Chargers. And the other big thing is the Chargers only scored 20 points. It shows you how good the Raiders' defense is, beating New England and holding Herbert to only 20 points in a game where the Chargers probably should have put up 40.
Yeah, I really like that kid Thornton coming out of Tennessee in this year's draft. Specific with Genty, he said something like, you know, I need the carries to kind of make everything work. Have you been surprised by Genty's, I don't want to say ineffectiveness, because at times it looks good, but just that it hasn't gotten going yet?
Yeah, I think we all are. It's his first two games in the history of his career. And in his first game, he had a touchdown, and they gave him the ball at the end of the game to run the clock out. And you guys know football. When you have a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter and you're handing the ball into the pile, you're going to lose yards. Or you're not, you know, he didn't fumble. Let me make that point clear. In the first game the Raiders won, his first game ever, in the pouring rain in New England, he scored a touchdown and he didn't fumble, which I thought was tremendous considering the conditions at Foxborough. And then, you know, week two, Monday night, you guys just saw the game. Geno's throwing interception after interception, and the Chargers are like stuffing the box going, do it again. So Genty hasn't been effective. I would assume, and I don't know the game plan, but I would assume you're going to see a heavy dose of Ashton Genty in this game against the Commanders, because they have to get him going. Because if they can get him going, it'll keep Jaden Daniels or Marcus Mariota on the sideline, and it'll set up play action. Geno is a very good play action quarterback, one of the better ones. And if you know, you can't work play action if you can't establish the run.
You mentioned the defense being solid. Max Crosby, obviously everyone knows about him, but some of the other guys on this defense aren't maybe as heralded. Obviously here in Washington, quite familiar with Jeremy Chinn, but what makes this defense so good?
Great question. They are a defense that has a really stout defensive line. Malcolm Kuntz, who missed all of last year with an injury, is a very good edge rusher. He's on the opposite side of Max. Max hasn't put up huge stats, but he's been a game wrecker in our first two games. They're double and triple teaming him. So when you see the Commanders' personnel in this game here, I guarantee you that they will have a tight end on Max's side, and they will chip him, and there'll be a back, whoever the running back is in the backfield, trying to keep an eye on Max. And Tyree Wilson and Adam Butler. There's a kid now, Jonah Laulu, who's a local kid out of Vegas. He's got three sacks already. He's an interior defensive tackle who's good. And then the second tier of the Raiders' defense is Jermaine Pratt. Devin White, who you remember, won a Super Bowl with Tampa, and he's been really good. He's not Bobby Wagner good, but he's younger than Bobby Wagner, and he was a really good player. He's in the middle of that. And then in the secondary, you mentioned Jeremy Chinn. You got Isaiah Polamalu, who's related to Troy Polamalu. So he's not bad. He's a good player on the secondary. And then the corners, here's the big takeaway of our conversation, guys. The corners have no experience. They're super young. And Pete Carroll's okay with it. He said, look, I'm going to play young players. Pete Carroll did that at USC. He did it at Seattle as he built the Legion of Boom. So the Raiders have very young and inexperienced corners outside of Eric Stokes, who formerly played with Green Bay. So, look, this comes down to, as I'll throw it back to you guys, Jaden Daniels is in practice, and I'm assuming this week. Do the Commanders want to risk Jaden Daniels against the Raiders and Max Crosby? Risk him getting further injured, or do they want to put him out there because they don't want to put Marcus Mariota out there, and Jaden's going to play, but he's not going to be 100%?
It's the biggest question here by a mile. I think, you know, Jaden, we're now through two practices that the media has watched, and Jaden hasn't gone Wednesday or Thursday. It was always going to be if he goes, he'd go a little bit Friday, so that door is still open. I find it telling from your your part of the country that Vegas adjusted this line a lot, which leads me to believe Vegas thinks it's going to be Mariota. I think the struggles they had in their last game against Parsons would give them some pause about Crosby. They're different players, but they're both elite pass rushers and disruptors. So, yeah, I mean, the Jaden question is on everybody. It's top of mind here, to say the least.
Yeah, I am curious. Go ahead.
Go ahead, please.
I just think if you play Jaden Daniels and Max Crosby has a big game, that's a problem. But if the Raiders didn't play the way they played on Monday night offensively, then the Raiders will have their hands full even with Jaden at 50-60%. I find it a fascinating topic because Jaden's so good. We wanted him to be a Raider. Remember, Antonio Pierce was our head coach before he got fired. He was super tight with Jaden. And we would have given up 3 first-round picks to get Jaden Daniels, and that wasn't even on the table. So Jaden was a really big topic out here in Vegas because we wanted him badly 2 years ago and couldn't get him. And now Raiders are still trying to figure out the quarterback position, but we feel like we got a good veteran who can win us a lot of games in Geno Smith.
Yeah, you know, I remember hearing some of that Antonio Pierce stuff from the combine that year, just how invested the Vegas organization was willing to go to try to get Jaden. I am a Pete Carroll believer, and I actually agree with you on Geno having a bounce-back game. How excited are Raiders fans out there to kind of be moving forward? And what does Tom Brady's role really look like day-to-day, week-to-week?
Well, Tom Brady has a big role. He's an owner now. He's not a consultant. He's got a nice chunk of the team. He's not one of these athletes that have 0.5% of 1%. He owns 10% of the team. He is completely invested in the Raiders. But as you guys know, he works for Fox. So he was at our last game in the booth, which is fine. He's allowed to be there. Ownership has its privileges. He's an owner, so he can have the headset on and be there. But he's got to be working for Fox every week. And you guys know that when you have a game, a big game for Fox, and you're the lead analyst, you got to be out on the road 2 days before that in that city. The league put limitations on what he can and can't do. And, you know, he's going to have a big role in the offseason. He's around us. He's there in the building from time to time. But, you know, he's not calling the plays. He's not playing quarterback. There's only so much he can do. And getting back to Pete Carroll, I find this a great topic. I interview Pete every week. So if you'd like to look at that at Raiders.com, it's up there, my one-on-one. I host the Coach's TV show. And he really, really is invested in Dan Quinn. When Pete sat out for the year, he was talking to Canales, who was one of the guys he mentored, and Dan Quinn and Pete are super tight, and Dan Quinn gives a lot of his success to Pete Carroll, who was his mentor. And then Pete says a lot of cool stuff about Bobby Wagner. He's arguably the best player Pete Carroll's ever had. It's Russell Wilson. People say Marshawn Lynch. I think it's Bobby Wagner, because Wagner became a first ballot Hall of Famer under the guidance of Pete Carroll and what Pete Carroll taught him about schemes and defenses. And Pete knows Bobby real well, and Bobby knows Pete's tendencies, so I think that's going to be a chess match coming Sunday.
Yeah, there's so much interwoven stuff in this matchup that I'm really excited to see it. You know, the Raiders, I don't know if Raider fans are the same, but Washington fans love whining about short weeks. For Vegas to play Monday night and then have to fly to an East Coast 1 o'clock game, are Raider fans up in arms about that?
I am. I'm furious that the league screwed us with this schedule. Let me go one step further. We played the Chargers on Monday night. The Chargers, give them credit, they had to go to São Paulo, Brazil. Okay, they played on a Friday, and they had all that extra time to prepare for the Raiders. And it's a short trip. L.A. to Vegas can't be any shorter, and they were rested and had extra rest. So when the schedule comes out, we see this game against the Commanders, and I'm like, wait a second. The Commanders are playing Thursday night, and they don't play, and then we're playing Monday night, and we have to travel. I would have had no problem with this, guys, if you were coming to Vegas. If we played on Monday night and then had a short week, but we were home, okay. But Pete Carroll is 25 and I think 11 lifetime. I'll get you the exact number where you can find it going east. No one's ever done that, and no one will ever do it again, including Jim Harbaugh or Sean McVay. Who's ever your favorite coach out west will never, ever have the record that Pete Carroll had going east. So that's one thing that the Raiders are excited about. And Geno Smith said at his press conference, he's happy that this is a short week because the Raiders want to put that stinker behind them, and they want to play now. They want to get that behind them and put up a win. So if Jaden Daniels was at 100%, I think the Raiders going into this game from a fan perspective, I'm just a fan, I think the Raiders would have had their hands full. But the fact that the Commanders have not looked good in week one and two, and Jaden is questionable, gives the Raiders, I think, a puncher's chance, if not more of that.
Hey, JT, we really appreciate the time, man. And let's hope it's a good game. And, I mean, for Washington, no injuries, and we all just get to enjoy it on Sunday.
Appreciate it, JT.
Absolutely, guys. Pleasure coming on with you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. That's JT the Brick from Raiders Radio. Give him a follow at JT the Brick. Good info right there. We come back. We're going to make some bets, Toby.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. You hear Enter Sandman there. I listen to Scott Van Pelt's podcast pretty regularly. And a few weeks ago, I think it was Stanford Steve actually, went on, I don't want to say a rant, but kind of was like, I don't want to hear about Lane Stadium and Enter Sandman. Like, I'm done with Virginia Tech football until they win some games. And I think that's a fair place to land.
Yeah.
Well, I think the folks at Virginia Tech had the same sentiment. The Hokies played well in their opener in a loss to South Carolina. South Carolina ended up covering that game. Thank you very much. But
I told you about that Sun Belt Conference, though.
The Hokies were tough. Then their home opener, they play Vandy in Blacksburg and get worked.
Mm-hmm.
Vandy's pretty good. Vandy just went and beat South Carolina. So, like, there's no shame in losing to Vandy.
Mm-hmm.
But shout out to the Fighting Scott Jacksons.
You trying to say the same in losing to a Sun Belt Conference team?
No.
Oh, all right.
If you go back and listen to last week's show, I called them losing this. Mm-hmm. I loved Old Dominion with the points. But, Brian, to get down 28-0 at home.
They were favored by how many?
I don't remember, but it was significant.
And they lost by significant.
45-26 final.
Yeah.
45-26 final.
Mm-hmm.
They fire Brent Pry. Listen, this year is shot. It was the right call. Like, the reason you fire Brent Pry now is so whoever gets the interim nod gets to play Wofford next week, and then ideally that guy gets to start with a win and try to build some momentum.
At least you hope.
Right. That's a good point. After Wofford next week, the Hokies get into their ACC slate. NC State, Wake, Georgia Tech, coming off that big win over
Georgia
Clemson.
Tech, hell yeah.
I mean, it's still so bizarre to me to see that Cal versus Virginia Tech is an ACC game. But I got the fix for the Hokies.
All right, let's go. I'm ready for you to take this to the public.
I will. Hire Michael Vick. Hire Michael Vick. Hire Michael Vick. I don't know if it will work. Nobody does. He's in his third or fourth game ever as a head coach at Norfolk State. Hire him.
What's their record?
I don't know. I don't care, frankly. I get that it's not the safest bet, but I'm guessing a dude like Brent Pry was the safe bet. Hire Michael Vick. Let him hire Dee Hall to run the defense.
Where did Brent Pry come from?
And give them a bunch of cash for NIL and see what happens.
Well, hell, I think if those two guys are on the coaching staff, you're going to get a lot of
players.
NIL. You'll get a lot of NIL right there.
Like, Greg, our friend Greg was texting me they should hire John Gruden. I got a tough reality for you, Blacksburg. John Gruden gets his pick of who's going to get fired this year. Maybe Billy Napier at Florida.
Billy Napier's going to get fired.
Maybe I don't think they would run Lincoln Riley at USC. Like, John Gruden can pick whatever job he wants.
Yeah.
And they're going to come up with more money at these big What if Bama fires Kalen DeBoer?
Well, I'm just going to say this.
Like,
Virginia Tech's going to have to get on board with the NIL thing.
Ask
old Dabo about the NIL thing. He needs to get on board with it too, huh? He lost another one.
Right. Here's the thing. I'm not saying that the Mike Vick hire would be the safest, because it's not.
The thing
but
about
you would have energy and eyeballs on that program in a way you haven't in forever.
You would, but you want to make the hire because you think he can help you win. And I believe Mike, over the years, is that guy now. He's a guy who's been through some stuff. He's a mentor. And also, I think Mike can he can get somebody to go out and play. And he will attract some players. So, in college, you got to have attraction, excitement, enthusiasm, and money. And they got that. They would have that with him.
The reality is, in this new ACC, Miami, Florida State, Clemson, maybe even like Louisville, they're all going to have more money. Jeff, don't go anywhere. They're all going to have more money for NIL. Like, they just are. Do something that makes people pay attention, roll the dice, try something. You know what I'm saying? Try something. And that, to me, it is the most legendary player in Virginia Tech history is Michael Vick.
100%.
He's coaching now. Give him a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I'd love Dee Hall running their defense. Dee Hall has been a coach in the NFL.
In the NFL, yeah.
I'm sure haters, naysayers will tell me I'm crazy. He doesn't have the experience. The last dude had all the experience in the world.
A lot of people don't have experience until you get the job, right?
Pry was the defense coordinator at Penn State for 5 years. He was at Vandy before that. Like, Pry had the experience.
Yeah, he was with, Scotty. As soon as he hit by somebody from Penn State, Scotty started hitting me.
I'm sure you loved that.
He's telling me how the guy's a number two guy. He's not a number one guy. Pry. We know that now. He was getting paid almost $5 million to be a number two guy.
I have no idea if the Mike Vick thing works, but it's
College football is no longer what it was. And if it was what it was, guess what? Those big-name coaches would have stayed. A lot of them ran away from the NIL thing because they don't know how to deal with something new. I think people like a Mike and a D. Hall, those guys understand what's happening these days and probably don't have a problem with players getting paid. Hell, everybody, they probably thought they should have been getting paid when they were in college. I knew I did.
Norfolk State is 1-2. The Spartans have lost to Towson, beat Virginia State, and lost to Rutgers. I don't even know. I don't know what Norfolk State's expected to do this year. This isn't about his performance at Norfolk State.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what Michael Vick might be able to bring
the
to Blacksburg.
Enthusiasm that
would
come
dude,
there.
Because there is no other coach they're going to get that will bring that.
When I first got here, I'll be totally honest with you, I heard more about Virginia Tech than I did Virginia, Maryland, anybody. I'm serious. You saw it everywhere you went. Over the last 10 years or so, it has not been anywhere close to what it used to be. So the luster has been lost, and it's time to try and bring that back. I'm serious. I was like, damn, what the hell? Virginia Tech, where the hell is Virginia Tech? Because, you know, when you hear something, you see it so much, you think it'll be right next door. But you go down way down to Blacksburg, and they were getting more hype than the schools that were right here.
Dude, so other people are saying, what about Shane Beamer? Shane Beamer's at South Carolina. Shane Beamer's in the SEC. Now, is that a tough place to win? Yes, but you know what? They got money.
They got money, and that's kind of like a step back. Unless he just wanted to do it because his dad was there. But that's not an upgrade. You're leaving a conference that's considered better than yours to go down to another one.
And they didn't hire him. They could have hired him when his, you know what I mean? You could have made a tradition. You could have made a transition from Frank to Shane.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. You think he's in a hurry to come back? And, dude, the people saying John Gruden, I got all these people. So I put it out into the earth, my Mike Vick theory. And the people that are coming back are like, nah, man, go get Gruden. He's not coming. You get Vick now because you might not be able to later.
True. Yeah.
Doug, like, I love the University of Maryland. I'm an alum, right? I have realistic expectations for my Terps. I love Coach Locks. I want what Locks for me, winning three straight bowl games, competing. I'm good with it. You got to have reasonable expectations, dude. And I fear the folks in Blacksburg do not.
Yeah. It can go wrong.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Nikki Jabala from The Athletic will join us next. We got running back news for the Washington Commanders.
RB.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.